and then bring a big heavy rain down and you'll be happy. But we have to have more than that today. The world has changed. You can't have just preachers exciting people.
That's right.
You got to have preachers guiding people, directing people. The shepherd has to come back.
That's right.
Oh, yes. So anyway, we have to be prepared today for the new reality, for the new truth of what the world is. The world is not what it used to be. The world has changed drastically. It has changed for the better, but it can be for the worse. For many people, it can be for the worse. I keep going back to that saying in the Bible, because to me, it's the time for it. I can see it working right today. That it's just expressed in these words. Awful and dreadful day of the Lord. It'll be a great day, too. They call it a great day. Great and dreadful day. Great and... So it's great for some, but dreadful for others. And that's what this world is shaping up to be. It's shaping up to be a very dreadful world for those who are ignorant of the time and what has transpired to bring the world to where it is today. God, it's fulfillment of prophecy. Those who are not aware of that prophecy and how it is to be fulfilled, and not aware of the mind that we're supposed to have all along, supposed to have been waiting for this day. The minds of generations going back to the first revelation, that mind was conditioned to be prepared to receive this day. When you can't live separately, you can't just work for yourself and exclude others. You have to include your neighbor. And not only you or us who are residing in these private homes or houses, but also the governments and the government heads can no longer be concerned for themselves alone, but they have to be concerned also for their neighbor, their neighbor government, their neighboring government, their neighboring nation. That's the time we're in right now. Now, when they formed the United Nations in New York, they formed it to get ahead of the rest of the world. They formed it to actually come into power over all the other nations. But it's the United Nations. So they couldn't keep its charter. Was made not only by those who conspire against the good of humanity, but it was made by many who work for the good of humanity. So their word is there, and they have to live up to it, like the founding fathers. I bet you one of them was Judas. But he couldn't help himself. He was outnumbered. He had to put his signature there, too. So they formed the United Nations. They formed it selfishly. And look how they disturbed once all those Africans came in there and tilted the balance. So Europe is not deciding matters with America anymore. And it's the world of nations that they have to consider and listen to. So this is a new day. Day of the United Nations. Yes, it's here. And the United Nations are going to be, right now they're in the process of bringing about revisions, reform on the United Nations.
That's right.
So the United Nations will be clean for this day and time.
Allah.
It wasn't clean for this day and time before. But it's going to be made clean for this day and time. Yes. Now, you don't know where I'm going, but you're going to soon know. What that you could count on. I'm always on the diamond. The baseball diamond, they call it. I'm always on the baseball diamond. I'm going from home plate to home plate. Yeah, that's where I'm going all the time. So just keep that in mind. That no matter where he starts or where he finishes, his work goes from home plate to home plate. Yeah. And that's revelation, that's scripture, if you understand it. And to him you must return.
Yeah.
And we think we're going to go and return to a man standing up, Mr. Farad. Oh, Mr. Ross, we finally return to our Lord. No, you're returning to where he put you in the first place. God created you in the garden, innocent, and prepared to make use of what he created. Well, he's going to bring you back to that same condition. He put you in the garden, that was your home to begin with, and he's going to bring you right back to that position. Oh, but you forgot what you said. You said that wasn't real, that it's a projection. It's talking about the future. I haven't changed anything. Your mind, get it straight. You have to learn how to follow wisdom. You don't follow wisdom like you follow the baseball. The dog can follow the baseball. You throw it out there, you run out there and get it and bring it right back to you. All right. So we're living in this new reality, and we have to be prepared for it. Now, what does that mean for our personal interests? When I say personal, now I'm talking about for our own life that we lost to slavery. In fact, we lost it to the world, even before the plantation. They didn't bring Africans over here that had it all together. They brought Africans over here that were defeated by other Africans and sold into slavery by other Africans and captured running around without protection on the African soil. Some were just captured by slave traders, captured and brought here and made slaves. Others were prisoners of war and just sold in big numbers to slave traders, prisoners of war. A lot of tribal wars were going on in Africa. So don't think we came over here with our heads straight. Most of us didn't. Only a few came over here who were pious worshipers of God. And they brought them over here too with the rest. Because the war was between brother and brother. Between Muslim and Muslim. Sometime between Muslim and ancestor worshipers. Not Christian and not Muslim. And all of them were brought over here. Few Christians were brought over here. And history says, this is the history of slavery in America, American history, says that Christians began to complain that Christians were being sold into slavery from Africa. And they put pressure on the government to stop it. So the Christians were stopped. They stopped bringing Christians over here to be made slaves, but they continued to bring Muslims, and they continued to bring the tribal religious people. People who have tribal religions. Most of them, Africans, have animal worship, ancestor worship. Ancestor worship. Spirit and ancestor worship. So they start just bringing them over here. So no matter what the case was, we were brought over here, and my point is that you didn't come from freedom. You were already slaves. You were mental slaves, spiritual slaves on the continent of Africa. And they brought you over here and made you physically slaves, made us physically slaves, our physical slaves, yes. And now we're free from physical bondage. The government has outlawed that long time ago, over 100 years ago. The government outlawed that. But are we really free? Most of us are not free. We actually are in a worse condition of slavery now than we ever were in. Why do I say that? Because there were many slaves who had kind masters, like Frederick Douglass. His first master was a very kind man, and his wife was kind, and they helped Frederick Douglass develop his mind, educate himself, and he became a great statesman. Not only for America, but he made trips over to Europe too, and they recognized him as a great statesman, Frederick Douglass, straight from slavery, but look how he had already developed while in captivity, while in physical bondage. So physical bondage is not necessarily something that will reduce or shrink or depreciate you as a human being in your mind and in your heart. But other conditions can, as I explained in the first hour of the live broadcast. I explained how other conditions make you a worse slave than a physical slave. I was locked up in prison. And I had to stay and serve my time because I refused the selective service order. But there in prison, I was free to develop my mind. I was free to further educate myself. And I did. So I came out of prison not regressed mentally, not regressed academically. I came out of prison advanced mentally and advanced academically. I even learned how to type in prison. And I just typed up my notes this morning. Yeah, I learned how to do that in prison. So we're always going to have physical restraints. We're always going to have material limitations. But if we can be free in spirit for God the Creator, we will always have an opportunity to advance our life mentally, academically, morally, and all the other more important aspects. So when we ever get the opportunity to move a virtue out more in the material world, we will have the equipment. And we would have achieved what we need to manage that new freedom and opportunity. And that's what we have done. Yes, that's what I've done. And many of you have done the same. We're ready for material land, landmass, to open up to us. We're ready to go into it and manage it and make a success of it. Look at the big farmland we had, and we thought we were doing a great thing. For all those thousands of acres of farm, let me tell you something. This is not to knock anything down. This is just for you to see the reality. You want to see clearly. Oh, we lost all that farmland. Shouldn't lose it. How come? We couldn't manage it. Had all that farmland and coming back and supplying a few stores. About two or three stores, half a dozen stores, that's all. We should have been, with that farm, with thousands of acres, if we had qualified people to manage that land, we would have had a chain of stores like jewels. Yes, we would have. A chain of stores like jewels. And it wouldn't have taken us long to have it. We should have been able to get it in a short span of time. Thousands of acres. Because when you make one successful, it puts you in a situation to expand. And we should have been able to invest and expand. Invest and expand. And in a few years, we should have been very big. If we ever, under my leadership, if we ever buy land to develop it, I guarantee you, in 5 years, you'll see power and wealth. Power and wealth. In 5 years. Power and wealth. All we need is the opportunity. Thank Allah, we're getting that opportunity. We're getting that opportunity. But I wouldn't put it in land. No. Don't put it in land. Put it in real estate. Let others worry about those perishable things. Too much competition. Too much competition in the perishable food business. Competition is too heavy. Because what will happen is you lose too much. See, when you invest in real estate, you ain't got to have no refrigerators to keep your property. You got perishable food, you got to have refrigeration. Utility and going up so high. Electric bill so high. Gas bill so high. It's very difficult to make it in food. And they have become such giants in the food industry until really it's almost impossible for a small man to make it. All you can do is take care of yourself and your wife and your few children with the money you'll get from investing in perishable goods like that. You won't get much. And what you see over here doing that business are hungry, hungry people from the third world. You think they got a lot of money? They don't have it. Those businesses are just giving them enough to take care of themselves and their families. Maybe two or three or four families come together and take care of them. They don't have that. That's not money. That's not money. Excuse me. Now, that's not where the money is. We're looking at things, we know. We're looking at things, and we're trusting Allah that we make the right decisions. And I trust Allah to help me make the right decision. And I have faith in Him, and I know He will help us make the right decision. All right. yes. So it's the global scene, the world scene that we have to look at. It's almost time. The second hour is up. But I was about 20 minutes late, so I'll take five. You can't take five anymore. Five ain't no good. They all changed that language in the theater and the movie making industry. They should say take 10. You take five, yeah, that ain't nothing. That's a waste of time and a big loss. You take five. And the prophet said you better take care of five before five be your downfall. I made it short, you know, I know what he said. Take care of five before five be your downfall. So the original five senses, the common sense of man, doesn't stand up in this new world of challenges prepared for the human being, the common person, all the big top two. They bring them down too by the Satan himself, by Shaitan himself. Yeah, he made the five senses of hardly no value at all. Yeah? They say they don't buy any wooden nickels. I wish I could find a wooden nickel. Oh, this one they got ain't worth wood. wood has value. Had value a long time ago and it still has value. And wood will always have value. Yes. Okay. So what you believe is hard to believe. You know, we got the most exciting life and the most exciting history, I believe, on the planet Earth. I do believe that. I'm talking about exciting for the intellectual curiosities. Exciting for the intellect, the rational mind, and its power to see and produce wonders. We got the most exciting history. Yes, indeed. And the most exciting life. How I was born in these United States of America, but never actually accepted to be an American until in my late years after my eyes were fully open. I rejected. My family raised me to reject the white man and his world. Yes. From a cradle. My mother produced me while she was having that mind. And she said she used to whisper things into my ears before I even learned to speak. Said she would recite the lessons to me in my ears before I even learned to speak. My mother told me that. Yes? So I'm a creation, not of this world. And that's a fact, that's real. I'm a creation, not of this world. No. And I was produced from and for my father. Produced from him and for his future. The future of his community. Yes? And now God has put into my hands, what I mean by that, into my mental grasp. Mind's grasp. He has put into my mind's grasp all the hidden things that he left with my father, Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And it's powerful. Now you all let these snakes among us. You know, snakes are charmers too, you know that? Some snakes are charmers.
Yeah, we know the charmers.
Yeah, they got men to charm snakes, but some snakes are charmers. They're called charmers. Yeah, they'll stand up and look pretty before you and get your eyes and your attention on them, and you forget what he is. Fangs in you, you're dying, too late, show is over. Yeah, some of them right in this time right now, they tell you, well, I love thee, ma'am. And he gives us, what he gives us best is the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. And now he made a complete turnaround.
Yeah.
I don't even know, I can't understand what he's doing now. I don't know where he's coming from. It's working well for us, got us where we are now. Why this change? What is the change? I haven't changed. No, I haven't changed. Long time ago, I told you all that Mr. Farrar had a strategy. And I told you all that I had grown to see that his intentions were good.
Right.
Told you this years ago.
Right.
At least 10 years ago.
Right.
Yes? So this ain't no change.
Right.
But now they're greatly disturbed because I am addressing the teachings of W.F. Muhammad or W.D. Farrar.
Right.
Greatly disturbed.
Right. Go ahead.
Why are they so disturbed? Because they never openly followed my leadership. They gave an open pretense of following my leadership, but they were always meeting together after I say things. They met together, and they still meet together and discuss what I said. And then say, now here's our plan. This is what we're going to do. They come behind every major thing I do, and they say, well, we see what he's doing. We see what the imam is doing. Now, what we going to do? Okay, this is what we going to do. I can name them to you. Okay, so they're greatly disturbed now. I don't hear from them. Two of the big ones came here and sit right down there. Over there on the side over there. Sit way back. So I started thinking I wouldn't know them. If I did, maybe I wouldn't say, well, imam. Sit way back, hoping that I wouldn't get their attention. I wouldn't catch their attention, or they wouldn't get my attention. And set like a FBI investigating the Ku Klux Klan, or the old Nation of Islam. Set together, both of them together. Two big ones, you know them. They're big. Their popularity is real big among us. They sit over there. And they're sitting like two FBI agents, investigating the Klan. Want to hear what the Grand Wizard of the Klan was gonna say, and go back to their boss and tell them. That's how they sit over there. Went back, don't hear nothing from them. They know they can't approach me, cause they approach me on a serious matter. They know what's gonna happen. I'm gonna say, no, you ain't with me.
Right.
And I'm going to have to expose you to the people.
Right.
I'm going to have to tell them.
That's right. Go ahead.
No. They got more misery in their darkness than I can give them in this light. it'll be a relief for them, for me to expose them and bring them out. It'll be a relief. I'm telling you, they really having hellfire where they are. You think the prophet didn't have such problems? He had people pretending they were with him, and they were so bitterly against what he was doing, they were just bubbling with poisons inside. But pretending, the believers would see him and think that they were model believers. They were that good at faking it. The revelation came telling them, God is aware of you. See, you almost want to bite your fingers off in rage. Allah says, die in your rage. That's what Allah says in the Quran, die in your rage. There ain't no new thing. The plan is the same as it was in the day of the prophet. So you go, you expect the same hatred for the plan. Yeah? Same hatred, the same hate mongers. Nothing changed. Nope. And we have to be strong and know that no matter how threatening against our own interests or our own lives and purpose the scene looks, long as you with God and faithful, you will be successful. Allah says the success of such believers are guaranteed. Huh? The believers must win through. This is the Allah in the Quran. So you just remember that and never let anything shake your faith. In 1975, what did I say as a young minister? Young in my development. I was 40 years old almost. But I was young in my development here and here. But what did I say? I knew it. God's will reaches you. Jesus spoke in the cradle. He was a baby yet in the cradle. And when he asked questions, his mother couldn't answer. The child spoke in the cradle. Huh?
Yes.
So I was in my cradle too in 1975. But what did I say to you? I spoke from courage because God's will was manifest and strong and well known inside me. I knew it. So I told you, well, they can do whatever they want to do. Come with their emotionalism and whatever. That the wind is not even going to blow the curtain. I won't even shake the curtains on these women. Praise be to Allah. That was the Spirit of God speaking through me. To let you all know, don't doubt this man. God is here. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Praise be to Allah. Yes. So we have things that he said. They don't want me. They shaking their shoes when they hear that I'm coming this way. But I have to say it because we have to bring light where there's darkness. And if I've made Mr. Farrar, who seemed to have been anti-white, and he's white himself in color, seemed to have been anti-white, seemed to have been anti-America, anti-America, seemed to have been all those things, and seemed to have been really anti-Quran, because he was saying things that was against the Quran. Now, if I say he's innocent, isn't it in my job to clean up those areas of confusion and doubt, those things that you can't manage?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So we're talking about the world scene again. Back on the world scene. Mr. Farrar said, when you become, he told my father to tell us this, and many of you heard it. When I say many, maybe just a few here now, but many heard it. A lot of them have passed away. He said, when you become a member here, you become a citizen of every Muslim nation, every Muslim government. That's what he said. He used to preach that. He used to preach it weekly. When you become a member here, you become a citizen of every Muslim government. Is that a reality? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because if you really can be proven that you're Muslim, no Muslim government can prevent you from having a visa to go into that government. So it's true. What he said was true. So he said many things. But why would he say something like that if he didn't want us one day to accept ourselves as being included in the international ummah?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Why would he say that? So that show you that the plan was to one day have us in a mental situation, a mind situation, where we would be comfortable identifying with Muslims all over the world as members in one ummah, the ummah of Prophet Muhammad. Ummah means community. And the ummah are the community of Prophet Muhammad. That's not all. When he said that a black man took black powder and filled it into a tube and then made a hole in the earth that went a third way into the earth. And he filled the tube with dynamite, black powder, he called it. And black powder, dynamite is black powder. And he set it off. It caused an explosion. And the explosion separated a big piece of it from its original wholeness. And that piece that it separated, that separated from it, was blasted off into space, and it became our moon. And the part that remained Earth. Huh? They said Earth used to be much bigger. But a scientist, a wise scientist of the original man,